Question: should devotees vote in elections? And what is our Krishna conscious understanding of a democratic form of government? Answer: in the Mahabharata, Lord Krishna describes in 8.49.49 that Nahi Sarvam Vidhiyate, there is not a rule for everything. So the scriptures give us broad guidelines for how we need to act in lives, but every individual has his own circumstances, his own psychophysical nature, and accordingly that individual will have to act accordingly, taking into consideration his or her nature and circumstances. So there cannot be any standard legislative sort of answer for the question of whether devotees should vote or not. In general, the Krishna conscious way of life gives us broad principles for guiding our life. But there will be hundreds of decisions that we will have to make in our lives, which, to the extent we have internalized the scriptural principles, to that extent we will be able to understand this is the way I should act, and this is the way maybe it is not in the best interests to act. So what the scriptures offer us is a general map, but each of us has to, in a sense, tread a path that is individual to us. The general compass and the direction in which we have to go and the overall terrain is given to us. But because everyone is individual and in individual circumstances, the path to some extent that we have to follow is individual. So we can observe the political situation around us and maybe look at the candidates who are there. And based on that, whoever is endorsing principles that are conducive to devotional service, we can vote for them. So it's not a broad it's not a general endorsement to vote for one particular party, but we will may have to make a issue based or stand based decision based on the particular deshakal patra that is there. So if a if in general there is a candidate or a party that is broadly supporting or at least allowing devotional principles to go on, then in general devotees will naturally want to endorse that through their own vote. So the broad principle again is anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam, accept what is favorable, reject what is unfavorable. So of course the practical application will vary according to time, place, circumstance. Additionally, to understand this answer more clearly, we also have to see it in the broad perspective. Voting is considered to be a public responsibility, and negligence of that may also alienate intelligent people or thoughtful people in society, making them think that devotees are socially irresponsible, they lack a sense of civic conscience or civic accountability. So depending on our specific friend circle, we don't have to make an issue. We don't have to become campaigners that all devotees should vote or all devotees should not vote. We have to see the specific circumstance that we are in and then we decide that. And as far as the karma is concerned, some devotees have the idea that if we vote for a particular political candidate and if that candidate sets up enterprises that involve breaking the regulatory principles, then will we also get a part of the karma? I feel that this whole idea of we getting karma from others is a slippery slope, and we don't have to bother too much about that. That way, if we start going down that slope, next thing we may ask is, if a baby is crying, does the mother, by offering the breastfeed to the baby, and then the baby grows up and becomes a lawbreaker, does the mother get the karma for having offered the breast milk? No, that is the mother's duty. So, the karmic consideration need not be a primary consideration over here, because that way, in society, whatever we do is having some sort of karmic implication. Unless it's an explicit violation of the four regulative principles, we don't have to bother too much about the karmic considerations. We can focus primarily on the devotional considerations and see whatever is favorable for the for our own practice of devotional service, for the continued practice and possibly of expansion of the devotional culture within the broader society. And based on that, we can decide whether we should vote, and if we vote, for whom we should vote. So, regarding the democracy, some devotees have a simplistic sort of dismissal of the whole democratic system by saying that Srila Prabhupada said democracy is demon crazy. So, some devotees may also say that democracy is government of the Shudras, for the Shudras, and by the Shudras. And this is actually a caricature of Abraham Lincoln's famous statement, government of the people, for the people, and by the people. So, now, these sort of statements represent only the most high octane, high decibel sound bites that Srila Prabhupada has spoken. Srila Prabhupada has also given in his purports a more nuanced and balanced understanding of democracy also. And if we look at the way Srila Prabhupada implemented things, Srila Prabhupada established the GBC, which operates on democratic principles. Whenever there are issues to be discussed, and if there is not a general consensus that comes, then the GBC votes, and that voting is based on democratic principles. Now, of course, sometimes it is said that this is that among educated, intelligent people, if there is voting, then all of them are thoughtful, and based on that thoughtfulness, they are voting. So, a council of Brahmanas, if they vote, then a democracy among them is meaningful, because they are knowing the issues properly, and after knowing the issues, then they are voting. Whereas most of the time, the general people, neither they know the issues, nor they understand the broad principles of life, and therefore their votes are not so valuable. This is a valid argument. At the same time, this doesn't mean that the whole system of democracy is negated. The same Abraham Lincoln, who said that democracy is a government of the people, for the people, by the people, he also acknowledged that democracy is a terrible form of government, but it is the best among all terrible forms of government. So, why? There are various ways of looking at it. One is, certainly people can become corrupt, but because they know that they don't have perpetual power, so they can't they can't become absolutely corrupt and continue on the corruption for a whole lifetime. If we had a system for training and developing principled leaders like Maharaj Yudhishthir or Maharaj Parikshit, then the system of royal monarchy was certainly the best. But in the modern society, democracy does seem to be the form of government that is the most conducive for the practice and the propagation of Krishna consciousness. What are the alternatives to democracy as a political system in today's society? We have theocracy and we have communism. So, theocracy is present primarily in the Arabic world. And there is no possibility for outreach of Krishna consciousness. Even the devotees, when they practice their own Krishna consciousness, who are there for work or whatever, they have to practice it mostly indoors. So they cannot practice, do any public practice of devotional service. There are some, and even in communalism, which was also not democratic. So we know from books like Salted Bread, how much devotees were tortured and had to suffer persecution under the communist government. Even today in China, with the communist government, sharing of Krishna consciousness is illegal. On the other hand, in the countries in the world where there is democracy, is America, Europe, South America, Australia, devotees have the facility to share Krishna consciousness with the world. So, of course, general democracy is also associated with materialism. But the point is that we do have the facility for practicing Krishna consciousness and sharing Krishna consciousness much more in a democratic setup than in any other alternative political system that we have. So, that's why from the realistic point of view, so I give Prabhupada's example first, that he instituted a GBC. From the practical analysis of the world situation, it is a democratic system that is helping us to share Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada also talked about how eventually the hope is that we would have some sort of Krishna conscious government. Of course, in modern society there is a great fear of theocracy, because theocracy means religion by the government by religious principles, and people feel afraid that this would become religious fanaticism. And that's because the majority religions in the world are, especially Islam and Christianity, these are the two main religions based on which people have seen in recent history religious governance. And Europe has been plagued for centuries, from the 15th, 16th century onwards to the 18th century. There was a 100-year war between the Protestants and the Catholics, and thousands of people were slaughtered just based on their religious faith. And similarly, there were the crusades between Muslims and Christians. So whenever religious government has been there in the recent historical memory, and that has been accompanied by unfortunate excesses. And that's why many people shudder at the thought of a theocracy in the world. So of course, Krishna consciousness recognizes various religions, and the criteria is not affiliation with a particular faith, but alignment with broad universal spiritual principles. So Srila Prabhupada said that even if in the future we have a Krishna conscious government, there will be different religious faiths, and they will also be allowed to practice, and they will be facilitated in their practice also to some extent. So Srila Prabhupada would give the example that just as there are different businesses, and when the government is there, the government oversees and facilitates the various businesses. So various religions are in one sense spiritual businesses, not in terms of making commercial profit through the spirituality, but it's spiritual pursuits that are to be achieved through the various religions. And there has to be a broad overseeing and facilitation by the government, so that people can practice. People are actually practicing what their sacred religions are telling them. So in that sense, a broad God-conscious government, which is based on the universal principles of the four pillars of dharma, as we know, which are actually universal qualities. There is cleanliness, forgiveness. Basically, the four qualities that are associated with no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. So, those qualities are the four pillars of dharma, and a God-conscious government will uphold those principles. So if there is a God-conscious government like that, how will that come up? So Srila Prabhupada basically gave two examples in general in his books. One is, he said that we may have a significant number of people in the society becoming devotees, and then they may elect a devotional government, or they may at least have some legislators who are devotees, and they can influence the policy to some extent. And alternatively, he said there may be a powerful head of state who may become devotionally minded, and through him the devotional culture can also spread. And Srila Prabhupada actually in his own life tried both. Now, in America and Australia, Srila Prabhupada inspired his disciples to start a political party. It was called In God We Trust Party. And there were several devotees who joined in that party. And they did a good amount of campaigning. And Srila Prabhupada was very positive about the whole thing. But eventually, Balavant Prabhu was there, Amarendra Prabhu was there, all these devotees were there. And they did some campaigning, and they got some, they said that if we get elected, we will actually implement the four regulative principles. And Srila Prabhupada told them, one advantage of politics is that you can criticize people as much as you want, and nobody can criticize you for criticizing others. So Srila Prabhupada, in that sense, encouraged those devotees to be in politics. But then eventually, the financial implications of being in politics were too much, and the sheer amount of expenditure required to launch effective campaigns and do promotion, Srila Prabhupada decided that is not that the Lakshmi that could be used for direct outreach of Krishna consciousness should not be directed towards political purposes. So then later on, Balwant Prabhu came and met Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, are you no longer enthusiastic about the our devotee political parties? Prabhupada said, I am more enthusiastic, but just don't ask me for any money. And then that was the end of the whole thing. But the devotees did get some experience over there, and Prabhupada encouraged it. So Srila Prabhupada's idea, if we understand from the experience, is that he wanted Krishna consciousness movement to primarily focus on sharing Krishna consciousness with the world. And along with that, some devotees, if they have the vigor and the resources, can also try to enter into the political system by which they can share Krishna consciousness with the world through creating political reform and appropriate long-term spiritually harmonized governing principles. On the other model, so here Srila Prabhupada said that we can use the democratic system and thereby campaign, get votes, and try to have devotees elected. When Srila Prabhupada, when he had the opportunity to meet Indira Gandhi, he came to India. He dropped off his tour from America partially and came back to India. And because Indira Gandhi at that time was under stress because of the recent assassination of Mujibur Rahman, and she was apprehensive that she might be assassinated, so he was distracted. And so Srila Prabhupada couldn't talk much with her. But in whatever he talked with her, whatever he had planned to talk with her, he had written in a small diary, and in that that diary the contents were eventually available for devotees, and that is also given Lila Amrut. And Srila Prabhupada basically was encouraging her, was going to urge her to use her power to bring in God consciousness in the administration of India. So in that sense, Srila Prabhupada was open to both models of sharing Krishna consciousness through the political system, either going from bottom up through elections or going from top down through influencing the top politicians. So either way, Srila Prabhupada was open for that. And that's why we don't have to minimize or deride democracy as demon crazy. What alternative do we have in the current society, current world society for us? So, overall, Srila Prabhupada's attitude in sharing Krishna consciousness is pragmatic. Pragmatic means use whatever works. So, we are not here in this world to capture power or impose our own religion on others, but we want that there should be broad re-spiritualization of society so that people don't get their spiritual lives, don't spiritual inclinations and spiritual prospects don't get slaughtered by rampant materialism. And whatever is required for that, we will do that. So with this broad principle in mind, devotees can individually decide how best they can use their small but significant votes to further the long-term vision that Srila Prabhupada had. So that may be by voting for a particular political party, that may be by voting for some other party at some other time, or that may be by voting for, by choosing not to vote. Actually, according to the Indian constitution, at least according to some interpretations of the clause, there is supposed to be in every candidate, every election, a clause that if the voters don't like any of these candidates, then they can tick that option. And if a substantial number of voters tick that option, then actually none of the voters will be, none of the candidates will be selected, and the parties will have to nominate other candidates who are respectable enough to attract the trust of the voters. But usually that clause is not applied for whatever reasons, and that's why that option is not there. But eventually, if that option comes up, then devotees can even use that option to ensure that parties field candidates with some basic level of moral integrity. And in this way, whatever be the specific situation of a particular devotee, using deshikala patra, the time, place, circumstance, devotees can arrive at individual decisions about how they should arrange to use the power of their vote in Krishna's service. Thank you.